This is an exclusive excerpt from the Stuff File program with Peter Anthony Holder.
Eric Pierpoint is a veteran Hollywood actor, but he has now taken his talent in another direction by writing a novel for young readers entitled The Last Ride of Caleb O'Toole. Eric joins us on the line right now from California to talk a little about his career and also his new book. Hi, Eric.
Hi, Peter. How are you?
Just tickety-boo. Thanks for being on the program with us.
No problem. I love it.
Writing a book for young readers, why particularly that age group, first of all?
Well, you know, when I first thought about this story, it was mainly I wanted to write a historical fiction story, a Western, a lot of it based on my own family background. But one of the things that happened some years ago when I was in Montana, I was on a horseback ride with a little guy. He was 12 years old at that time. He was my little brother in the Big Brother Association. You're familiar with that?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, we were outside of Yellowstone, and for pretty much the entire day, we wandered around on two horses and no guide, with just a map. And it was one of the best times I've ever had. And I would once in a while look back and I would see him struggling with his horse and wondered, well, what would it be like? I kept putting myself back in time as I'm thinking about this story that I'm writing. And I decided it would be far more interesting to write it from the point of view of a boy instead of a grown man, because he has so much to learn. And how can he learn, and what will he learn? What are the tools that he'll need to get to survive in the 1870s West? So that's kind of how that started.
Now, I've mentioned that you're an actor. People might know you from things like certainly Alien Nation. You've been on Parks and Rec. But in doing a book like this, in writing just generally, is it like using a different creative muscle for you?
Yeah, it's very different. The investigation that you do as an actor, you know, you're investigating, you're researching for your character. You're kind of digging in, trying to find the layers. It's you expand that when you're writing a novel, especially historical fiction. So I found myself as sort of like a private investigator. And plus, the satisfaction you get as an actor is mostly immediate. At least it is on stage. You know, you get instant feedback from your performance on stage and the reaction of the audience and how the whole thing flowed. You see your rewards somewhat later on in terms of when you're doing film and television. And film and television is cut. So while you can have a lot of satisfaction doing certain things, you're always kind of stopping. And in a way, a novel is a bit like that. You're in a flow, then you stop, and then you struggle, and then you're in another flow. So, but I did find that my literary agent gave me one of the best notes. She said, use your experience as an actor to influence your writing. And that I got immediately, because it just told me that you have a sort of an internal mechanism of when to move off and keep things moving and keep it interesting. So I think that's probably the best note I ever got.
Now, in addition to that, you're also the son of Robert Pierpoint, who was a CBS correspondent for many, many years, certainly one of Murrow's boys back in the day. And when it comes to practicing journalism, certainly back then, it was all about the writing. So
yeah.
Is that part of your dad's legacy, just doing a book like this?
Yeah, you know, I think about that quite a bit, because I didn't really know that whether or not I could pull this off, you know, to write a story that was compelling, because it's so much work, you know. And my dad was, you know, he was a real, real straight, very, very competent professional broadcaster, correspondent during six presidencies. So he covered the White House. I knew how much effort he put into fact-finding and checking his facts. So I keep hearing his voice, you know. I keep feeling like I got a lot of that from him. So when I go, I find it very interesting to to kind of keep pulling the snakes out of the holes, and then from all of that to start spinning the story. Sometimes the facts influence the characters, and sometimes the characters are flying off by themselves. But I really do think that he had a lot of, when he was living, a lot of influence, and even when he's passed, he still does.
Well, the book, The Last Ride of Caleb O'Toole, is a book of fiction, and it's a book that goes back in time. But you mentioned doing research and fact-finding. You actually traveled, if I'm not mistaken, along the Oregon Trail to do this book?
Yeah. You know, I was sitting there with my computer, and I was spitting all of these stories out of my head, and I kind of felt like I was lacking something. So I decided to pack up, put my dog in the car, and head out to Kansas, start from the town of Great Bend, where the story begins. And then I really wanted to get a sense of the landscape and just sort of feel what it must have been like, you know, pull off on the side of the road, do a little riding by a stream or a lake or a plain or a mountain, or go to museums, talk to historians. So I spent a month on the trail, going from town to town and sort of landmark to landmark, that took me through up to Nebraska along the Platte River, up through Wyoming, Yellowstone, and through the gold mining towns of Montana, and ended up in the Bitterroot Mountains. I had a blast.
So tell us what the story is about in The Last Ride of Caleb O'Toole.
It's about, the central character is a 12-year-old boy. He has two sisters. They are left orphaned. There is a cholera epidemic in Great Bend. They're also witnesses to a murder. The dying wishes of the mother are that Caleb take his two sisters up to try to get on the railroad that'll take them west toward Montana and then up into the Bitterroot area to live with their aunt. Well, everything goes wrong. First of all, there was a railroad strike in 1877. Plus, the railroad wasn't even finished to go up that north and far north in Montana. And the kids are being pursued by this gang of bad guys. And they are befriended and actually rescued by a gunfighter. And the gunfighter shot up, and they in turn rescue him. So various friends that they meet along the way provide support for the kids. Some Native American characters come into the picture. Some are actual historical figures, like Chief Touch the Clouds, Sitting Bull. There's, you know, an assortment of characters from actual history. And so I get to touch on a lot of themes. I get to touch on some of the Indian Wars. I get to touch on the Western migration, what it was like to be in a wagon train. And it all ends up at a big battle in the Bitterroot Mountains.
Would anybody who's known you most of your life, would they see any of Caleb in you? In other words, is this you at 12?
Partially. Caleb meets a lot of men who are very capable figures who kind of help him along the way. And I had some in my life when I was a young boy. I identify with Caleb in that way. Also, every kid wants to be a hero. And I also identify with a gunfighter. The gunfighter is I love those Western characters where they're sort of these beaten down men who are very, very, somewhat dangerous, but loners. And they kind of rise up and defeat the ultimate evil in the end. And that's kind of what this gunfighter character is. But he's a mentor, and he also was sort of rescued emotionally by the three O'Toole children. And he's had a lot of loss in his life. So in that sense, they both rescue each other. So I find there's a lot of Caleb in me, and there's a lot of the gunfighter. It just depends on what age I am.
With your actor's eye, and with also having traveled a trail to do research for the book, could you see this book being turned into something on film, either in the small or big screen?
Yes, I do. I'm definitely hanging on to those rights. This was originally a story that had been optioned, that I had written for Starz. The Hallmark Channel was doing Westerns at that time. when the movies of the week were put on hold, I got the script back. And the script at that time was, the central character was the gunfighter who adopts the three children. Well, I flipped it, and that's how it ended up, one of the reasons it ended up as a, you know, focusing on the 12-year-old. But it definitely has a possibility of going either to the small screen as a series or, you know, one movie.
Your father, Robert, is no longer with us, but as we discussed earlier, you know, he's a great journalist and writer in his own right. What do you think he'd think of this book, The Last Ride of Caleb O'Toole?
I'm so disappointed he never read it. You know, it just kills me that he was unable to even read a rough draft at that point. He did, however, read the original screenplay and loved it. He was amazed at the story, and he thought it was, you know, he was looking for it. He would ask me every day, every time I would call him, how it's going. And he was very, very supportive. And unfortunately, it never, you know, it never happened that he could read it. I think he'd be proud in a lot of ways. I think anybody who writes and gets a novel published, I think you got to be proud of him somehow. Boy, I tell you, I have a whole new respect for writers. And I think that I think he would, and he'd be proud of the next one too, which is, boy, it's even more fact-finding. It's a Revolutionary War story.
It's a what, I'm sorry?
It's a story that, for the same age group,
right,
takes place 1781 before the Battle of Yorktown.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. I'm sure your father would be very proud indeed. I'm sure the group that's going to be reading this, I understand it's for ages 9 to 12, that will love it as well. The book is called The Last Ride of Caleb O'Toole, written by Eric Pierpoint. And people can check out your website, which is ericpierpoint.net. Eric, I thank you very, very much for taking the time to talk with us.
Great. Thanks so much, Peter.
Eric Pierpoint, author of The Last Ride of Caleb O'Toole. You can go to my website at thestufffile.com, go to the What's On page for this show, which is show number 0213, and you'll find links to Eric's site, plus also links to either Amazon.com or Amazon.ca, where you can order his book directly.
You've just heard an exclusive excerpt from The Stuff File program with Peter Anthony Holder. To hear any or all of the full hour-long shows, visit thestufffile.com. Stuff is spelled S-T-U-P-H. That's thestufffile.com. A presentation of Flying Fish Communications.